The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
There's a reason that we live so far from Hollywood. In the country, looking hard to find a home. With nothing perfect or considered.
Bonjour, hi, Canada. Greetings, everyone. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show, wherever you are in the United States. But a special welcome to News Talk 93.3 and 1390 WRSC, a brand new affiliate in State College, Pennsylvania. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Welcome. It's great to have you folks in State College. Let me tell you up front, we bleed scarlet and gray here. And once a year, we will not be on the same side of it. But we like the Nittany Lions a lot. We like the Big Ten a lot around here. Welcome, State College, Pennsylvania. News Talk 93.3 and 1390 WRSC. It's great to have you out listening to the Hugh Hewitt Show. Thanks to Kurt Schlichter, who sat in for me on my anniversary on Friday. Today marks the first day of the 21st year of the broadcast of the Hugh Hewitt Show on the Salem Radio Network nationally. It's my 33rd year in broadcast or something like that. But 21 years begins today on the Hugh Hewitt Show, and I'm glad you are along for the ride with me. Kurt sat in on not only the anniversary of the show on Friday, but my anniversary with my wife, the fetching Mrs. Hewitt. 38 years married, and Friday we had a great time. I'm sure Kurt mentioned this. I'm holding it up if you're watching us on Instagram or on Facebook. The 21 Biggest Lies About Donald Trump and You by Kurt Schlichter comes out. Kurt is going to sit in for me next week, which is my real vacation, an entire week off. But it was great for him to come in on Friday and Thursday, and I really appreciate him doing that for anniversary days. A lot of news this morning, a lot of guests coming up today. I'm going to be joined by our friend Selena Zito. You Yinzers who are in State College, who are listening on News Talk 93.3 and 1390 WRSC, you're going to love Selena. She's a Pittsburgh gal. And she writes for the Wall Street Journal, the Washington Examiner, the New York Post. But she's at heart a Yinzer, and she stays and lives and breathes all things Pittsburgh. And I'm sure when she learns that State College has joined us, she's just going to be thrilled. Senator Josh Hawley, who's in a battle with ESPN and Disney, will be here to talk about the suspension of ESPN's gossip columnist, Woj. I can't even say his name. I just know him as Woj. And I don't really follow him much, but he sent an F-bomb to the senator last Friday. And ESPN suspended him, which was stupid, because Hawley was asking questions about the NBA and China, which we'll get into. Dan Balls, reporter extraordinaire, dean of national correspondence at every paper. But Dan joins us at the top of the third hour. And then a special interview with Professor Eddie Gloud, Jr. of Princeton. His book is an extraordinary book, Begin Again. It's one of the very few books that has really deeply impacted me. I'm 64, and I've got very few books. I've read thousands of books, but very few are eye-opening and changing. I don't agree with a lot of what Professor Gloud writes, but it is elegantly presented and superbly argued case about how Black America feels and understands the world. You may see Eddie on MSNBC all the time and NBC occasionally. He deserves a lot of praise for this book, and I hope you'll get it. You'll hear our interview in the third hour. Quickly, the news of the morning. This is the rundown. Florida breaks the U.S. coronavirus record for new cases in a day. 15,300 new cases yesterday broke the previous record. Some of the increase, according to the New York Times, reflects the dramatic increase in testing. We know that. Florida is testing several times the number of people that New York City did at the height of its crisis. The spread of the disease in the Florida sun does not play out the same dread with the same dread as it did in the crowded city streets of New York City. Hospitals are better supplied, somewhat more prepared to treat patients than they were in March and April. And while the daily death toll in Florida climbed to a high last week, it remains far below the levels that New York suffered, at least for now. Now, death is a lagging indicator, but a lot of people are intuiting that the disease is less deadly. I don't think that's correct. There are two strains of it running around, and it may be correct. But I know one thing is doctors are much better skilled at treating it, and people are much quicker to get treatment. And people are not being turned away at the ER complaining of respiratory problems and high fevers. They're being treated in isolation wards. They're not being put quickly onto intubators, which is not particularly efficacious treatment. They know the antivirals that work. They know the variety of hydroxychloroquine regimes that are appropriate or not appropriate. We're learning a lot as new therapies come on, and as a result, it's not nearly as deadly. It's still deadly. I think I read over the weekend 0.8% is the current death rate, which is a lot. If you figured 330 million Americans got that, 1% would be 3.3 million Americans. Good news remains the same in studies that published over the weekend that we just don't have any children under 10 dying of the disease, very few under 20. It's an adult disease, and the older you are, the more vulnerable you are, the underlying conditions are there. Scientists had hoped summer temperatures would tamp down COVID-19 cases. What happened? This goes to the Wall Street Journal's lead story today. What happened is it's a new virus, and we don't really know what it's going to be like next year, but we know that sunlight works on existing viruses for which there's already partial herd immunity. There's no herd immunity for COVID. It just spreads and spreads and spreads. Very contagious. Very contagious. That's the difference. 21 sailors injured in a Navy ship fire in San Diego. The Bonhomme Richard has been docked at the U.S. Naval Base, but a lower cargo hold used for vehicle storage caught on fire yesterday. It's still burning. About 160 sailors were on board. 17 were injured. 4 civilians injured as well. They're continuing to fight the fire. They're hoping to save the ship. Global stocks are rising around the globe. Let me bring to you now my new listeners in College Station on 93.3 and 1390 WRC. One of my regular sponsors is Birch Gold. They always do the market story of the day in the first hour of the show. And you can find them at HughGold.com. They're the very best gold person business in the United States. That's why I endorse them, why I use them. I buy my gold from them. They will help you diversify your retirement savings. In an era when they need to be diversified, gold is this morning at $1,813 an ounce. When Birch Gold joined me, I think it was at $1,400. It might have been lower. But if you haven't diversified now, it's not like, oh, I didn't buy Amazon when it was at 10, so I'm not going to buy it now that it's at 2,500 or 2,300, whatever. That's not the right way to think. Think inflation is coming. Does gold make sense for a portion of my retirement portfolio? How do I roll over a part of my portfolio into physical silver and gold? Those are the people at Birch Gold. Thousands of five-star ratings, Better Business Bureau, you know, thumbs up, all the good news. I buy gold from them, but I just put it in the safety deposit box. I encourage you to do that as well. Hugh Gold, or you can text my name, Hugh, to 474747. All right. The story of the day is that Asian markets climbed overnight significantly. Japan was up 2.22%. The European markets, which are well into their day now, are both up 1% in England and Germany. Those are the ones I cover. I don't know what stocks are going to do. It looks like it's going to be a great day on Wall Street, just like Friday. Friday had S&P. Everything was up Friday. And again, it looks like a great day, but I don't, you know, you can't, I'm not a prophet nor the son of the prophet. I never predict the market. I always tell you on Tuesday what happened on Monday. I don't predict. I check Amazon as a proxy for the tech sector and as the most diversified stock and the only stock I own outside of mutual funds, because I just know the stock and I think it's basically a default currency. Amazon closed at $3,200 a share on Friday. And I expect it will go up another percent or two or three today, like it's been doing and will do at least until earnings come in a week after next, sometime between the 23rd and the 27th. I don't know what day their earnings report is, but it's the COVID rally as new economy takes over from old economy at breathtaking speed. Also in the story of the day, China sanctions more U.S. lawmakers. They've sanctioned Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz, House Representative Chris Smith, and Ambassador Sam Brownback. I'll tell you about that after the break. I have a new column at the Washington Post titled "Biden is the Wrong Choice to Lead the West Through Cold War 2.0. These sanctions on U.S. lawmakers underscore why, and I'll come back and read that for you. It's on the front page of the Washington Post. Already attracted 3,000 comments. I'm sure the Chinese trolls are out there. But go and read that column during the break, and I'll talk to you about it afterwards. Once again, welcome News Talk 93.3 and 1390 WRSC in College Station, Pennsylvania. Great to have you aboard the Hugh Hewitt Show. President Trump has an announcement for his top supporters. Team Trump will be celebrating the 2020 Republican National Convention this summer. He wants you to enter for your chance to join him at the convention. If you win, Team Trump will cover the flight, hotel, and give you VIP passes for yourself and a guest. All you have to do is text the word RED, R-E-D, to 88022 today. That's RED to 88022 today for your chance to meet President Trump at the convention. Again, that's R-E-D to 88022 to enter to win this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be his special guest. Paid for by Donald J. Trump for President, Inc. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. Again, special welcome to 93.3 in State College, Pennsylvania. News Talk 93.3 and 1390 WRSC. Welcome aboard. Occasionally you'll hear this, Lou, new listeners. I write a column for the Washington Post, As the Spirit Moves Me, and it moved me this weekend, so I wrote this column. It's on the front page of the Post right now if you go to WashingtonPost.com in the right-hand corner. They pick the headline, Biden is the wrong choice to lead the West through Cold War 2.0. I want you to hear this. If by some stroke of fortune, former Vice President Walter Mondale had defeated President Ronald Reagan in the 1984 election, would the Soviet Union still exist today, still hold Eastern Europe in its thrall? Would Germany still be divided? Veterans of the Reagan administration, and I am one of them, believe, along with many in the liberated countries now part of NATO, that Reagan was indispensable to victory in the Cold War 1.0. We can also recall the savaging Reagan took for his alleged lack of intellect and his blunt approach to the Soviets. The central issue of this current campaign in 2020 ought to be the nature and ambitions of the Chinese Communist Party, its reckless disregard for the world in the early stages of the coronavirus outbreak, its repression of Hong Kong, what may be the genocidal treatment of the Uyghurs and its plans to dominate not just the South China Sea, but the international order for decades to come. The election of 2020, like that of 1984, ought to turn on which candidate is best equipped to deal with the country's most significant adversary. Today, that is the General Secretary of the Chinese Communist Party, also the President for Life of the People's Republic of China, Xi Jinping. The left has long liked to attack conservatives for a supposed lack of intelligence and sophistication, along with alleged warmongering and other crimes. One of my favorite novels, John Irving's A Prayer for Owen Meany, is marred by this specific twitch. It was published in March 1989, an unfortunate mere 8 months before the fall of the Berlin Wall. It is full of the then conventional contempt for Reagan that accompanied the nuclear freeze movement, that condemned Reagan's deployment of Pershing II and cruise missiles to Europe, his embrace of strategic nuclear defense derided as Star Wars by Senator Edward Kennedy and then everywhere on the left, and of course opposition to Reagan's support for the Contra rebels in Nicaragua, which reached hyper-pitch as the Iran-Contra scandal unfolded. Quote from A Prayer for Owen Meany, "The White House, that old criminal mob, those arrogant goons who see themselves as justified to operate above the law, they disgrace democracy by claiming what they do for democracy," John Irving has his narrator rail. "They should be in jail," he huffs after labeling Reagan an old geezer. See the similarities? And slamming him with the innuendo of Hollywood stupidity routinely traded in by anti-Reagan newspaper columnists in those days. Now it is Trump taking the slings and arrows of the left, only with far more velocity and fervor given the evolution of media. That unrelenting chorus of hatred doesn't change the central question. Who best to deal with the Chinese Communist Party, Trump or former Vice President Biden? Trump has been accused of being both too hard and too soft on Xi, Biden of being simply absent or compromised. The CCP uses loans and debt collection around the world the way that Soviets supported Cuban troops in Africa in the 1980s. Its military buildup is vast and rapid. The CCP's relentless campaigns of espionage make the Soviets of John le Carré novels seem quaint. Who is better equipped by disposition and experience to deal with the dragon the way that Reagan dealt with the bear? Trump's record and approach here are broad and familiar, and so are the praise and the criticism of that record. How about Biden's? Former Secretary of Defense Robert Gates famously wrote in 2014 that Biden has been wrong on nearly every major foreign policy and national security issue over the past four decades. I recently had Bob Gates on my radio show to talk about his new book. And I asked him about those comments, and he said, "Yeah, I stand by that statement." He elaborated, "Biden voted against every single arm program that Ronald Reagan put up on the Hill. He voted for the Iraq War." He went on to say, "I think that the vice president has issues with the military." So, yeah, for those focused on the central issue, this is Hugh talking. The existential threat to the country and indeed the West, the choice of Donald Trump is obvious. Bob Gates did not say so. But if past his prologue, Joe Biden would be to the Chinese Communist Party as President Jimmy Carter was to the USSR. Naive and paralyzed. That's what I say in the Washington Post. Go click on it and send it around. I'll be right back on the Hugh Hewitt Show.
Where do we go from here, my friend? Is this the way our story ends? Hey, man, sing me a song. When we were
welcome back, Americans. Hugh Hewitt. I'm talking about China because the big story this morning is they've sanctioned more U.S. lawmakers, including Marco Rubio, Congressman Chris Smith. They have sanctioned Ambassador Sam Brownback of, where is Sam Brownback? Used to be Kansas, of course. Got the Robert O'Brien, the National Security Advisor, who is in Paris today meeting with his NATO counterparts. Robert O'Brien also published in the Washington Post this morning about China. President Trump will continue to punish China for its horrifying anti-Uyghur campaign. The Uyghurs are an ethnic people, primarily, predominantly, almost exclusively Muslim in the northwest of China. President O'Brien's national security advisor, Robert O'Brien, is an old friend of mine and of the program. My former law partner, so I always reveal that before I talk with him or about him. His piece reads, "Under Marxism-Leninism, the self-proclaimed ideology of the Chinese Communist Party, individuals do not possess inherent value. People are merely a tool to achieve the ends of a collective nation-state. That idea may sound inhumane, but it is fundamental to the Chinese Communist Party as the Bill of Rights to Americans. And the philosophy helps explain the CCP, that shorthand for Chinese Communist Party. I do that, spell it out for the Steelers fans out there. It helps explain the CCP's horrifying repression of Uyghurs and other Turkic Muslim minorities throughout Xinjiang province. Last week, President Trump imposed global Magnitsky Act sanctions against Politburo member Chen Kuangguo, the party secretary for the Xinjiang region, who has presided over the anti-Uyghur campaign. Earlier this month, the Trump administration announced a business advisory for U.S. companies with supply chain exposures to entities engaged in the CCP's use of forced labor and other human rights abuses in Xinjiang. The president has imposed export restrictions against 21 Chinese government entities and 16 Chinese companies complicit in Chinese campaign of repression, population control, mass arbitrary detention, forced labor, and high-technology surveillance against Uyghurs and other minorities. The details of the CCP's anti-Uyghur campaign are heartbreaking, but they reflect the Marxist-Leninist disdain for individual human beings. Whenever Chinese people dare defy the party by asserting their individual humanity, they stop being useful to the state. They become a problem to solve the only way the CCP knows how: suppression and coercion. Signal events of communist rule in China, including the, quote, Great Leap Forward, the, quote, Cultural Revolution, the Tiananmen Square massacre, and more recently the raising of Hong Kong's democratic system, provide ample evidence of the CCP's indifference towards human rights and the value of individual lives. That influence can be seen through the vast archipelago of camps, where 1 million Uyghurs are undergoing re-education, thought transformation, and forced labor. For those Muslim Chinese not in the camps, Xinjiang is a surveillance state. Millions of artificial intelligence-powered cameras use facial and gait recognition technologies to monitor individuals. Internet activity is closely tracked, and DNA samples are collected. More than 1 million CCP cadres, most of them men, reportedly live in Uyghur homes, while the household's adult males are in detention. Children as young as 2 years old are taken from their homes and raised in the party-run orphanages. Mosques are under constant surveillance and are being Sinicized, made subordinate to Chinese culture, or destroyed at the party's direction. The CCP is even reinterpreting Islam's sacred book, the Quran, to align with its worldview. According to recent reports by the Associated Press and the Jamestown Foundation, the CCP is using forced birth control, sterilization, abortion, and rape to change the demographics of Xinjiang province. The party simply wants to radically reduce the Uyghur population. Family planning bureaucrats mandate birth control measures with long-term effectiveness. That translates into debilitating and irreversible surgical sterilization. In 2016, the CCP replaced the nation's one-child policy with incentives for the Han Chinese majority to have more children. But the one-child policy was reinforced for Uyghur families. And because Uyghurs believe that every child is a gift from God and should be cherished, the CCP regards Uyghurs having more children as evidence of radicalization and religious extremism. Quote, violations can be met with forced abortions, ruinous fines, or imprisonment in camps called training centers. In Kashgar and Hotan, two of the prefectures that make up the Uyghur heartland, the natural population growth, which is birth rate minus death, fell by 84% between 2015 and 2018. In 2019, birth rates in Xinjiang's ethnic minority regions fell between 30 and 56%, while birth rates across China fell by only 4.2%. A staggering 80% of all newly placed intrauterine conception devices in China in 2018 were fitted in this province of Xinjiang, according to the Jamestown Foundation report. Even though the region makes up only 1.8% of the country's population. 80% of the IUDs, 1.8% of the country's population. For decades, the United States condemned the Chinese Communist Party's coercive population control policies, too often alone in its criticism, while other nations turned a blind eye as they sought commercial advantages in China. The United States continues to stand against these policies, especially as they are aimed at the Uyghurs. The Trump administration's actions in recent days include blocking Chinese officials complicit in these abuses from traveling to the United States. The president has also moved to stop the illegal import of goods produced by Chinese companies known to use Uyghur forced labor. As long as these human rights violations continue, the Trump administration will respond. If the past century has shown us anything, it is that dangerous ideologies backed by powerful states rarely confine their malign conduct within their own borders. The United States will thus continue to shine the light of truth on Xinjiang and for Uyghurs and for all of us. That's Robert O'Brien. So both his opinion piece and my opinion piece are on the front page of the Post. I urge you to link to them, send them around. I urge you to tell people about the Uyghurs and The obvious similarities with the Jews of Germany in the early 30s cannot be avoided. And the obvious complicity that people will have in dealing with the Chinese will be the same as those who dealt with Germany in the mid-30s. Word is out. People know. If you're buying these products from these sanctioned companies, you are imprisoning and sterilizing and allowing the rape and the abortions that are forced upon women and the eradication, the genocide. There's a technical reason for not using the term genocide, but it's genocide. And you've got to be aware of that, and you've got to ask yourself whether or not you want any part of that and whether or not you want to own Chinese companies like Alibaba, no matter what their return is. And if you're the NBA, you really have to come to grips with this. This is the NBA. They won't say anything bad about China. Lots of people won't. I'll talk to Josh Hawley about that. ESPN won't. Too much money. Too much money. Does that matter to you? 1-800-520-1234. 1-800-520-1234. Should the United States go to the Olympics in Beijing in 2022? Should the world? The Uyghurs are one reason not to. The repression of Hong Kong is another. Of course, their reckless, their malicious negligence, their reckless disregard for the safety of the world vis-a-vis the virus is a third. Their bullying and attempt to take over the South China Sea is another. Their espionage around the world is a fifth. They could return to the model of the 80s and the 90s. But President Xi Jinping is one of those fellas who comes along, takes a repressive authoritarian regime, and revs it up to a totalitarian level. 1-800-520-1234. Should we just say, we're not going to go? Should we say, that's it, we're done? William in Westchester, New York. Good morning, William. What do you think? It's still being screened. We have to make sure that these are not trolls or seminar callers from the PRC. Hello, William. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. A couple of months ago, there seemed to be something like a BDS movement against communist China. Wonder what happened to it. Has Beijing been writing a lot of checks?
Oh, you would not believe what is going on. Did you see what Woj, you know, there's a gossip columnist for the NBA named Woj. Adrian Wojnarowski. I don't know how to say his last name. And Josh Hawley made a statement about China and ESPN and Disney on Thursday or Friday. And Woj, there again, it's like page six of the New York Post, sent an FU note to him. He's apologized. He's been suspended by ESPN. But there's an attempt by people who make money from China to shut this down. Of course there is, William. You bet. It's about money. It's always about money. Thank you, my friend. Dover, Delaware, John. What do you think, John?
Yeah, good morning, Hugh. I think we ought to not go to China for the Olympics, and we ought to not take any goods imported from China into the United States until these people straighten their act up, Hugh.
All right, thank you. William in Washington, D.C. Good morning, William. 1-800-520-1234. What do you think, Will?
Hey, thanks a lot for what you do, bro. Listen, I think there's more than meets the eye here, but we got to really settle down on these, clamp down on this Chinese Uyghurs and whatnot. And a lot of people here that's creating all these factions, why don't we ship them to China and see how they like it? They got to understand what's happening here so that they could learn a lesson. But we need to really unite as a United States of America.
Well, that is the point of my, if we're in an existential struggle with the Chinese Communist Party, it doesn't mean war. It means Cold War 2.0. Do you want Donald Trump to run it, who has a real view of China, or do you want Joe Biden, who is, you know, clueless and has been just absent on China for 45 years? Do you want him to run? Do you think that's even a tough choice?
Unite as the United States, we really got to unite right now as a team.
Well, that's not going to happen until after the election. I hope after Donald Trump is reelected, people come together and realize we're in a fight for our existence. Our children and our grandchildren are facing an enemy that is far more sophisticated and thinks in far longer terms and has actually combined elements of capitalism with the best of capitalism with the worst of totalitarianism. That's the problem we confront. That is the problem that we confront. The CCP is a much more dangerous enemy than the USSR. And I was there at the beginning, at the end of the struggle with the Soviets, and I'm here at the beginning of that with the Chinese. I've seen it all, read it all, followed it all, know the history of the opening that China occurred. But I tell you, we don't have to lose. We just have to be resolved. Selena Zito with the Yenza Report next. Stay tuned, America. Welcome back, America, to Hewitt, joined by Selena Zito. It's the time for the Yenza Report. All of Selena's remarkable reporting and writing is available at selenazito.com. Selena, we have a new affiliate in State College, News Talk 93.3 and 1390 WRSC, so we've got the Nittany Lions listening.
Happy Valley. I was just in Altoona, not far from there, on Friday at the Altoona Curve Baseball Park.
Now, tell me, is Penn State a degree-granting institution?
Is it a what?
A degree-granting institution, or is it a two-year
yes.
school?
Yes.
Okay. Just checking. You know, they don't, obviously, they don't have anything on their helmet, so they haven't even got around to the era of having emblems, right? They're like the Browns. Selena, I want our new listeners and old to know about the column you wrote over the weekend about religious liberty. What moved you to that? That was not a reported column. That was an opinion column. You do both.
Yeah. So I had gone to the Bailey Mine to do an interview with the energy secretary. And as I was going around the bend, Bailey Mine is the largest coal mine in the country. I see this tiny little church sitting there. And it was on the same day that the Supreme Court ruled on the Little Sisters of the Poor. And I was just very curious about the church. I found out it was where Welsh Baptist immigrants formed a parish before the Civil War. Well, before
1848, I think you said.
Yeah, 1848. And I remembered through my history book that Welsh Baptists had been, had fled England because they were being persecuted for their religious beliefs. And I it just came to me that, you know, how important it was for people who immigrated to our country, that religious freedom was just a rock rib reason to settle here, because that was important to them, to be able to practice their religious beliefs freely. And that made me think about the Little Sisters of the Poor and how important it was to them. And I covered that for years here in Pittsburgh. They fought for that for over a decade. They're located in Pittsburgh, about the mandates in the Affordable Care Act that forced them to purchase or allow to purchase contraceptives for their employees. And they fought for that religious freedom to be exempt from government mandate, and they won. And so,
Selena, the Little Sister of the Poor, for our listeners, is one of three decisions handed down last week. The Little Sisters upheld a regulation issued by the Obama administration, said they don't have to be part of ACA. The Our Lady of Guadalupe upheld the exemption of religious schools from various employment laws that would prevent them from hiring and firing based on religion. And Espinoza versus Montana struck down Montana's Blaine Amendment. It was a huge year for religious liberty. But one of those decisions, Montana, was 5-4. And so that religious liberty, which brought those Welsh Baptists to Pennsylvania and the Pilgrims to Massachusetts and a lot of persecuted religions from around the world, Buddhists and Muslims, et cetera, we're talking about the Uyghur Muslims today, to the United States. It is a fundamental guiding North Star for people who want to get here.
Yeah, you know, what's really interesting to me, I posted it on my Facebook page. And I have a friend in Nebraska who is, you know, liberal and is a Biden supporter. And she read that piece and she said, you know what? I didn't have clarity on how much religious liberty meant. And I forgot about our history. And you brought that to light in that story. And more people should think about how that impacted the Little Sisters of the Poor. And also, how much religious liberty is sort of, you know, ingrained in the journey to America?
It is fundamental, and I think a lot of people forget. We call them the first freedoms. They were the Second Amendment proposed. They were the first to be ratified, and therefore the first in the Bill of Rights. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. It's very clear. You're supposed to be able to worship any way you wanted. It wasn't limited to the four walls of a church. Lots of people don't even believe in having four walls. They go out into the world and they work and they do. And the Little Sisters believe that birth control is sinful and they don't want to provide it to their employees. It's that simple. And yet the abortion absolutists wanted to impose the mandate on them.
Right. And what they forget in their ideology is that they're stomping on a fundamental right that is so important to people. And I think that we're also forgetting how important this matter is to evangelical Christian and conservative Catholic voters going into November. There have been broad assumptions about where this election is headed. And yet, I don't think people understand as to how. I'm sorry about my cat. Yeah. I don't think that.
That's why my allergies have been acting up. I knew it. It is Skype cat allergies. Selena, you're busted. SelenaZito.com. We have her lower third at Selena Zito. She's not on Twitter, but she's at SelenaZito.com. Go to SelenaZito.com. Thank you, dear. Yinzer Report for this week. Coming back with Senator Josh Hawley, America. Stay tuned.